Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Want to go mountain climbing at the Mall of America? This is Wretched Radio. No, I'm not talking about one of those rock climbing walls. I'm talking about climbing the seven mountains of Dominion. You say, what are the seven mountains of Dominion? Well, it would be a Dominionist belief that Christians are here to conquer the seven mountains of society: government, education, business, arts, Hollywood. And once we accomplish that, lo and behold, Jesus is going to appear in the skies and come back. In other words, it is a theology that ushers in the return of our Savior. From whence does this theology come? A number of sources, not the least of which would be Prophet Lance Wallnau. He concocted the seven mountains of Dominion. He also, by the way, predicted that Donald Trump would currently be our president. That's called a prophetic oops, which means if we were in Old Testament days, Lance would have been stoned for making a false prophecy. And so too would a number of individuals from Bethel Church in Redding, California. This is the epicenter of the Seven Mountains of Dominion movement. You could say Kansas City, but they're shuttering the windows at IHOP Kansas City, or at least they're rebranding, which is kind of a PR way to close down, but not really, and just reopen with a new logo and perhaps a new name. Both of these institutions are known for hosting these prophets who promote dominionism. And it is this movement that showed up at the Mall of America. That's right. Sean Foicht, who is a former worship leader, he ran for office in California, didn't win, but he has gathered an army of individuals that show up wherever he appears to, you can't really call it preach. They do some worshiping, but you can't call it preaching. And he landed in Minnesota, and he had this wacky idea that he threw out on social media. How's about tomorrow we gather in one of the rotundas at the Mall of America and just host a big worship service? Well, anybody who has done any sort of open-air preaching or evangelism would tell him that's private property. The Mall of America is not owned by Americans. It's owned by individuals. It's private property. And that means when we go into malls and we go about the business of doing any sort of Christian proselytization, they have the right to kick us out. And certainly to gather hundreds or thousands of people to start singing worship songs without approval? Well, that's just against the law. Nevertheless, Sean Foicht, rallying the troops, encouraging them to come to the Mall of America, was informed by the folks in charge that's going to be a big no-go. So they, in an supposed impromptu way, called people out to the mall anyway, and they started worship outside, singing that current hit, Our God is an Awesome God. Sean Foicht then, in the open air, to what looked like it was maybe a couple hundred people gathering around. But I have to confess, the people who showed up for this to march around the Mall of America, think Jericho, there were a lot of folks that showed up for this. Why? Because this fellow and his movement, it fills up big churches. And he sometimes tours with Charlie Kirk of Turning Point America. This is a movement that has a focus on reclaiming America, getting America back to its Christian roots. Let's eavesdrop and let's listen to the impromptu message from the leader of this movement. Now, this is right outside the Mall of America. I've driven by this sign 100 times. There's a little bit of grass and people are gathered there outside. This is what this movement teaches. You say, why do we need to know this? It doesn't involve me. I fear that it will, if it doesn't already. Because when people talk in very pejorative ways about Christian nationalism, this is in part what they're thinking about. This group of folks, and it is growing. Did you know that there's actually a TV show dedicated to this? It's a big show called Flashpoint. Shocker, it airs, or at least it's filmed sometimes, at Kenneth Copeland's compound. It is a group of Bethelites, prophets, dominionists, who chant, Make America Great Again, USA, 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 and carry their Bibles. They paid $60. This was at this particular one, according to NBC News, was filmed at Regent, which is Pat Robertson's university. Lance Wallnau has appeared. The Pillow Guy has appeared. In January, a pastor said the Lord told him that 2024 would be a year of divine reckoning and vengeance against the wicked. The show has portrayed the presidential election as a spiritual clash. Well, I actually don't argue with that. Because, well, pretty much everything is. The show, it only draws a monthly viewership of 11,000 households, but they get hundreds of thousands of viewers online. That is social media and how people consume an awful lot of content. They filmed it not only at Regent, Ken Copeland Ministries, Dutch Sheets, a self-appointed apostle. They showed a video of him, and they all desire to take America back for Jesus. As dozens come forward, including a woman who said she'd been diagnosed with a terminal illness, Bailey Sheets Wallnau and the other panelists placed their hands on each person and one by one declared them healed in the name of Jesus. The conversation on stage shifted back to politics and the urgent need to mobilize local churches to get out the evangelical vote. The seamless weaving of immersive religious expressions, apocalyptic preaching, and right-wing political organizing on full display. And so it was at the Mall of America, too. This is the leader, Sean Foyt. Sorry about the sound quality. It's what it is.
So the reason we're here today is to make a public display of affection for Jesus.
Now, if you want to do that for some reason, okay. It's not mandated by any means, but remember, there is an agenda behind this.
And I just want to point out the hypocrisy of the Minnesota authorities. Yes. Now, you can go into this mall and you can rage on Ramadan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there can be shootings. Yeah. And there can be violence and they'll say nothing.
That's not my experience. Haven't lived in the great state of Minnesota now for, 16, 17 years. But my recollection is they didn't play at the Mall of America. They realized that if hoodlums came in, business went down. And that means the return on investment diminished. They were serious about it then. But they barred Christians from just invading private property to do a worship service. I don't see that as discriminatory. I see that as their right to conduct business. That's what it is there for.
But when Christians show up, they're going to give you one of these. Yeah.
Holding up a pink slip.
And so this is a year in 2024 where we need to flip this state.
You're right. Okay, so we're here to worship Jesus. Flip this state. It just goes back and forth and back and forth between politics and, well, their version of Christianity.
Anybody else tired of this? This should not be a place that is hostile to Christians.
I don't think the Mall of America, hostile to Christians?
But because of the church's inability to stand up, we have allowed this kind of stuff to take place. And I just am coming and listen, I'm in California. My state's crazier than yours.
Well, that's debatable these days. Nevertheless, the churches are weak. And so gets booted out of the Mall of America and blames it on the churches?
But California made us all a little wild. And it's time for Minnesota to get wild.
Okay, that was a hockey team. Are they still the hockey team there?
I think so.
Was that an illusion or what does he mean? We're all supposed to play ice hockey? I'm confused.
Worship out here.
It's politics. It's Jesus. It's Christianity. It's the right race to the White House. This is the Dominionist movement. And you should be aware of it because it's increasing in popularity. There's no question about it. Oh, and by the way, they have some awesome worship there, too.
Come on, I'm going to show all of America that this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Two.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how.
Four.
Come on, sing it out. This is how. And this is how I fight
five,
my battles.
Six. Seven. Very, very profound. The Seven Mountains Movement. It's coming to a mall near you. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Wretched Radio today. Write this down in your calendar or put it on your calendar in your phone. I don't think people write on calendars anymore. Regardless of however you remember this Thursday evening, May the 9th, live on YouTube. It's the premiere of our Let's Do Something Together event. Live on YouTube, you'll get to meet the eight powerful voices that will be joining this ministry later this year. Men like Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Jason Lyle, Pastor Tim Challies, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Krotz will all be a part of the event. Not to mention Ken Ham and Phil Johnson, they'll also be there. Don't miss it. It's this Thursday evening live at 9 p.m. on the Wretched YouTube channel. You can even go by there now and subscribe to the Wretched YouTube channel and click the bell and you'll get notified right before the event goes live. This Thursday night, Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Important dates in Christian history. 863 AD. Cyril and Methodius, Greek brothers, evangelize the Serbs.
Cyril develops the Cyrillic alphabet, which remains the basis for the Slavonic used in the liturgy of the Russian Church. Even the alphabet can be a reminder of God's work in the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you're a glutton for punishment, you've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio. Let's eavesdrop on another impromptu sermon. This is a fellow who should have his stump speech down as he's crisscrossing America trying to rally Christians of the Bethel NAR stripe to take America back so that Christians can climb the mountain of government and keep it underneath our feet, along with six other mountains of dominion, so that Jesus will return. Please note, this is not fringe. Well, I mean, it's fringe in the way it presents itself, but it's not fringe by any way, shape, or form. This is a very substantial movement inside of America. And this is a movement that you are grouped with. If you're an evangelical and you're at all patriotic, you put your hand to your heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance, then you are just like these people. And we do well to recognize that they're on the march and they're growing because it resonates with people. I get it. Believe me, I get it. Watching the foundations crumble. Psalm 11, what are the righteous to do when the foundations crumble? Well, actually, Psalm 11 tells us exactly what we're supposed to do when the foundations crumble. Now, there's more, but the psalmist says, look up, look up. Jesus is reigning on his throne. Don't go into fits over what's happening in culture. Be calm. Be at peace. It doesn't mean we don't vote. It doesn't mean Christians can't be engaged. It doesn't mean that Christians can't run for political office. But it means that we are not supposed to be flipped upside down, wondering, what are we going to do? Because our God is in his holy temple. This is, by the way, the precise message that John gave to the worrywart believers in the first century who were feeling the sting of Roman persecution for being a believer. Hey, John, help us out here. What are we supposed to do? Well, please note, he didn't tell them to sing repetitious worship songs. He didn't tell them to gather at the Mall of America. He gave them a vision of what's going on in heaven. Look up. Jesus seated on his throne. And then he lays out for those worrywarts. He's going to win. Big time, like scary big time, and you're on his team, and your role is to be faithful, to go about the business of proclaiming Jesus so that souls will be saved. Yep, if you choose to whatever degree to be involved in the political realm, because we happen to still, at least for now, have the privilege of doing that, rock on. If that is what you believe the Lord would have you to do, do it. But please don't do it because you're so worried about what's going on. And that's what drives this movement. They think that they need to get things under control themselves. Our job is to be faithful and leave the results to our Lord, knowing that he is the one who rules governments, even stinkers. He is the one who uses them as ministers to accomplish his eternal purposes. What is this, the fourth time? Yes, you can be involved in politics. Yes, you should vote. But you shouldn't be in a panic. You should look up because Jesus reigns. This is Sean Foicht outside of the Mall of America having an impromptu, supposedly, worship service and getting the crowd once again whipped up. Got to get everybody agitated. Look at the foundations crumbling. Look, he's pointing them in the wrong direction. Look down. Look down. Look at what a mess this is. And instead, we should be pointing people up and showing when God flexes his mighty arm, nobody stands a chance. And we're supposed to be faithful to what he tells us to do.
I mean, it may seem silly, it may seem crazy, but they said the same thing about the men who marched around Jericho. They said the same thing about Gideon when he smashed the jar open. They said the same thing about Jehoshaphat when he sent worshipers ahead of the army.
In other words, we're just like those guys. And God is going to move the way that he did then. I wonder, when they were marching around the Mall of America, did they expect Macy's to come crumbling down? Not that it's not doing it all by itself, but what? Is what? What was, were you instructed by God to do this? Ah, that's a revealing question, because the answer would be yes, because God is speaking to this prophet.
It's a little time for the church to start taking worship outside.
I don't know why.
And I was worried about it because, you know, Minnesotans can melt in the sun. And just so you know, we tried to work with the mall. Of course, they were incredibly threatened.
They were incredibly threatened? By the way, the mall is right next to the international airport. You go to the mall. If you stood on top of Macy's, you could grab a wheel. And they just are right there, as you can tell. The mall isn't scared of Christians. The mall is there to make sure that the people who pay rent can do business. Did they do everything right? I don't know. But on paper, legally, they have every right to say, I'm sorry, you can't assemble here without permission, and you can't do things that we believe will jeopardize the business of our clients.
My Christians, they're real nervous because y'all look pretty scary. They're not worried about Ramadan. They're not worried about shootings. They're worried about Christians.
I have a funny feeling they're worried about shootings.
And so it's time for us to expose that. So anyway, when I was...
By the way, if there was some sort of Ramadan thing inside of there, I suspect that they followed procedure. They didn't show up and announce, we're going to be doing a worship service inside of your private property. Instead, they probably went about the business of filling out the forms and having to abide by whatever rules were set. Do I like it? Of course not. Muslims gathering to do some sort of public Ramadan celebration? As a Christian, as one who doesn't believe that Muhammad was a prophet, and that it's a religion that is horribly oppressive, horribly oppressive. These kids at the university campuses, yikes, if they took their worldview to Gaza, for whom they're protesting, they'd probably be killed. That doesn't make anybody thrilled to see Islam gaining in popularity, because it is a religion that doesn't have Jesus Christ rightly understood. They do not have salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Of course it should grieve us. But to somehow suggest that they're favoring Islam over Christianity because you didn't follow the rules?
Talking to them, I said, well, listen, let's work something out. They were trying to, you know, you can't come in and do whatever. And I'm like, listen, this is America.
Yeah.
And this is private property.
I can sing wherever the heck I want to sing.
Except inside of somebody's private property.
And, you know,
this would be like some progressive walking into his house and bringing in a whole group of people. He'd go, excuse me, you can't be in here. And they said, well, we've got the right to do anything that we want to wherever we want to. This is nonsense.
Well, we're the number one COVID violator in 29 states. We've been through a few things.
Yeah.
And I told them that this is not what I was hoping for, but I said, if you fine us and you give us forms, this is going to be your PR notice to America.
What does that mean? And what does the Mall of America, where people shop and children play, people dine? The mall is the enemy?
That Christians are not invited to the largest mall in America.
Actually, there are plenty of them wandering around. They just can't break the rules.
This is what this means. Christians, you're not welcome here. Every other religion, you're fine. And here's what's interesting about this form. It's actually for trespassing.
Which is what it would be if you weren't abiding by the rules.
Oh, seriously? I mean, we're outside for crying out loud, but whatever.
But you were wanting to do it inside.
We'll see how this...
By the way, I saw the video of him. He was in the mall up on like the third, fourth level, looking down on the rotunda. Hey, had this crazy idea. What do you say we all come out and worship right here? Meet us tomorrow. That was not an outdoor event that was planned.
Holds up in court.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want you guys to see this, and I feel like this is important and it's symbolic for us to realize, listen, there are powers and principalities, and God bless those security guys. They're just doing their job, but there's powers and principalities that do, that want you to shut up.
Actually, there are business owners who have a vested interest in the Mall of America, and they want to maintain that, as is their right. What happened at the Mall of America? Incoherent, unbiblical, and a total, total publicity stunt. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Our first story comes from the state of New York, where a senator who helped pass a law that allows sexual assault victims to sue their alleged perpetrators years after the statute of limitations had expired is now calling the same law unconstitutional. Why? Well, now he's being accused of it himself. Brooklyn Senator Kevin Barker was the driving force behind the Adult Survivors Act, which paved the way for several high-profile figures like former President Donald Trump and actor Cuba Gooding Jr. to face lawsuits over decades-old allegations. However, the tables have now turned and Barker finds himself on the receiving end of a lawsuit that's enabled by the very law he championed. And now he's changed his tune, asserting that the act, well, it's unconstitutional. Talk about a convenient change of heart. Moving on, the Chicago Teachers Union is making waves with their audacious, and I mean super audacious, contract demands, including a staggering $50 billion in raises over 4 years, free abortions and service for migrants, and a mandatory LGBTQ training. Apparently, ensuring that 8th graders can read proficiently takes a back seat to these things. That's unfortunate. Well, in an ideological twist, some licensed therapists have taken it upon themselves to greenlight sex change operations in the name of allyship. These therapists openly admit to viewing the letter writing process as a form of political activism rather than a serious mental precaution. They offer courses on expanding your allyship by writing these letters and even provide them for free, all while advocating for the complete removal of such safeguards. Troubling trend, and it's likely going to contribute to the alarming rise in gender-related surgeries and interventions among minors. Finally, a shocking incident unfolded in Pennsylvania when a man attempted to shoot a pastor during a church service over the weekend. Thankfully, a brave congregation member tackled the gunman, potentially saving lots of lives. The pastor, Glenn Germany, praised the heroic actions of the individual who sacrificed his own safety to subdue the attacker. Sobering reminder of why there needs to be some very strict safety precautions in our churches. That's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Song of Songs, also known as Song of Solomon, is a song about romantic love. The author uses sensuous, romantic language to describe courtship and marriage, desire and intimacy, in the context of purity and goodness, which are God's intentions for marriage. A biblical view of marital love is romantic and passionate, while being innocent and pure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Would you like to come to a legal rally? This is Wretched Radio. Please mark your calendars, 9 p.m. Thursday, May 9th. We filled out the paperwork so that we can have a YouTube event. It is a premiere of, it is, well, what I call a Lollapalooza. It is an assembly of the individuals who are going to be joining us here at Gospel Partners Media so that we can proclaim more truth throughout social media, TV, radio, books, publishing, resources, webinars, all legally. And we are introducing all of those fellows to you on Thursday night. Not only will our fellows be with us, For instance, Dr. Jason Lyle, Tim Challies is a part of that. Dr. John Kratz, you're going to dig this guy if you're not familiar with John Kratz. Adam Tyson, he's a professor, I think he's an adjunct professor at the Masters University, pastoring in outside of Los Angeles. And he's going to be talking to Gen Zs. He's going to be talking to young men to perhaps have a slightly different perspective than, say, I don't know, Jordan Peterson or Andrew Tate. Wouldn't that be nice? Not only will those fellows be joining us, but so will Phil Johnson, so will Ken Ham. Mark it on your calendar, Thursday, May 9th. And it is our hope that you will see what we have been up to now for months around here and go, hey, this could be really big. This could be really impactful. This could be a louder biblical voice proclaiming great news, strengthening local churches, providing resources for everybody. We hope that you'll be excited and consider partnering with us financially. We currently have a $250,000 matching gift. That's a lot. Would you please consider partnering with us as we launch this? We want to do better than the shenanigans that just took place at the Mall of America. What? You look like you need to say something.
No, I don't need to say anything.
You know you've got that look on your face.
What do you want me to say?
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Otherwise, you were going to be strangled.
Oh, yeah, you did save my life. You do care. You love me. You really love me.
Let's not get carried away.
You appreciate me.
Jason, who leads this initiative. Now, he didn't like really threaten, maybe physically intimidating a little bit.
He just said, hey, make sure Todd mentions the premiere on radio this week. And his eyes really scare me.
Wait, did he buck up a little bit?
No, it's just the way he looks at me. You know, he means business.
He does mean business.
Yes,
because
sir.
He's been working really hard on this and it is exciting. I can't wait for you to hear the podcasts that we're going to be producing. So fine, so thoughtful, so helpful, so biblical. If you didn't get a chance, by the way, once again, Greg Gifford's Transform podcast. He is rocking the Casbah. Okay. As long as I brought up an 80s reference, I kid you not. It is, what night was it? Saturday night, I think. And we'd seen the posters around town in Alpharetta, Georgia, which is where Alpharetta Bible Church happens to be located. He dropped in less than subtly. And there was going to be a concert in the village green or the big park area. Tommy Two Tone, 867-5309 from the 80s.
You went, didn't you?
No, we're sitting. So sad. Okay, this is shameful. You have every right to shame me for this. It was Saturday, and we were going to tackle the deck. That got about an 8x10 deck. We love sitting on it. Love it. But it's covered with the green Georgia schmutz that happens every spring. And we were going to clean it. But somebody, C4, decided, oh, no, you're not. You're not even going to bend over. In fact, you're not even going to sit down, tall guy. And Mrs. Friel cleaned the deck all by herself.
But you at least sat out there and told her what to do.
Well, you know, like a good patriarch should. Absolutely. So we're sitting out on the deck and it's Saturday night. And guess what I can hear off in the distance? 867-5309. I got to hear the concert.
Didn't you have to pay for it?
And so I thought I could actually hear it. I think he started the show with it. It was free and we didn't ask. I was at the Minneapolis Convention Center once and walked through the back door and Chubby Checker was on stage at a convention. And of course he was singing The Twist. Went in, did my meetings, came back about 45 minutes later, and he was singing The Twist again, because that's pretty much it. Tommy had one tune, 867-5309, and he sang it right out of the gate. And I thought, well, what's left? You know, he just emptied his holster. What's next? Play that funky music, White Boy, which I think is currently illegal to say in America. That was Wild Cherry, if I'm not mistaken. So thanks, Tommy, for the memories. Tune in Thursday, May. Not that you've probably wondered, what might it be like to occupy my brain? Well, now you know. May 9th, Thursday, join us and a cavalcade of evangelicals who are going to be joining us. I'm telling you, these guys, they're good and they're credible. And one of the things that we hope to do are to elevate some people who are worthy of a larger platform. These guys are, they're thoughtful and they're good. And we want to expend some energy to try to raise up more voices. Isn't that good? Isn't that what we should be doing? Investing in other people in order to try to raise up people who can speak for Jesus? So if that resonates with you, please join us Thursday night, 9 p.m., and consider partnering with us financially, if you'd be so kind, wretched.org/donate. But I digress. Friel, everything about this program is a digression. Mike Gendron is a name that you're perhaps familiar with. He crisscrosses the country, not invading the Mall of America, but speaking in Protestant churches to warn them about a trend that we have been observing here. And Candace Owen recently made very clear a lot of folks are gravitating toward the Roman Catholic Church. And as a digression from my non-digression digression, was reading an article at AP News. It was a little bit subjective. It was more anecdotal than it was factual, but nevertheless, they recognized a trend that a lot of U.S. Catholic churches are becoming increasingly old school. Latin, which has not been used in most Catholic churches since Vatican II in the early 60s. There's a return to it, and guess who's gravitating toward it? Young people. They like it. It feels different. In fact, there was a quote inside of the article from a fellow. We want this ethereal experience that's different from everything else in our lives. That's what young people want. They want a religion that isn't just like everything else that they see on the television, on social media. Mike Gendron, recognizing this trend, sent out his newsletter called Proclaiming the Gospel. In our 33 years of proclaiming the gospel to Catholics, we've observed a troubling trend. Protestants who once embraced the gospel of grace are departing from the faith to join the Catholic Church. And the reason that he cites, because they deal with people who do this, they deal with Roman Catholics regularly, people who are coming out of that work-based system. He said it's because they get married to a Roman Catholic. Paging Candace Owen. We'll see where Russell Brand lands. It looks like he's teaching people to pray the rosary since he's been baptized. This is a trend that we need to be aware of. 4 out of 5 times in these mixed marriages, the Protestant converts to Catholicism. He cites 5 reasons why with an encouragement, please make sure you are talking about the distinctions between the Roman Catholic Church and Protestantism, despite the effort of so many these days to make them just basically in harmony with one another. We're not. Nothing has changed since the Council of Trent in the mid-16th century. Here are his 5 reasons. Unity accords between Catholics and evangelicals. And by the way, there are pro-Catholic apps that are being used. One called Hallow encourages prayers to Mary and guardian angels. It's being promoted by Fox News, Good Morning America, The View. This is the chosen guy who plays Jesus. He's Roman Catholic. And media is even jumping on some of these trends, and Protestants are going for it. 2, warnings are being withheld or avoided. Youth pastors, parents, pastors, not talking about these distinctions. 3, disobedience to God and His Word. They're getting married and to unequally yoked status. I'm sorry. Let's do it this way. Roman Catholicism teaches that Protestants are anathema, and we would have to say in return, you're outside of Christ because you're outside of grace, and we should not be getting unequally yoked with Roman Catholics, but that is being ignored. Compromise for the sake of peace and unity. She likes going to that Catholic church. I'll just go with ignorance of Catholicism's false and fatal gospel. And so this trend, I think, is personified by Candace Owen, is one we could nip in the bud if we will just talk about it. This is Wretched Radio.
As most of you know, we're at a pivotal moment in our culture. We are facing a desperate need for truth. And here at Gospel Partners Media, we see the need, and that's why we are launching our most ambitious makeover ever. A Christian version of the Daily Wire. It's coming later this year. It's a facelift for this ministry. It's not just another initiative. It's a call to action for every believer everywhere. Join us as we welcome 8 powerful and theologically sound voices to our family. Men like Dr. John Crotts and Dr. Greg Gifford gearing up to bring you insight on everything from ethics and theology to science and parenting. Look, it's time for a bold response to a darkening world, and you can be part of it. Join our $250,000 match campaign right now, and together we can illuminate the shadows. Visit wretched.org/fellows to learn more. That's wretched.org/fellows. And let's build this thing together.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in, they assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Are you terrified of sharing the gospel? Do you feel unprepared to witness in this sin-sick culture? Well, just know that you're not alone, which is why we're pointing you to Terrified 2, a powerful DVD resource that equips you with the tools that Jesus himself used to fulfill the Great Commission. It's packed with engaging teaching and real-life examples that will teach you how to humbly help others understand their need for a Savior, proclaim the gospel of forgiveness through Christ, and to call people to repentance and faith. We'll give you answers to tough questions and common objections as well. Terrified 2 really does take the fear out of evangelism by showing you the biblical model for witnessing. It's the same approach used by Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody, Ray Comfort, and others. Don't let your fear or terror hold you back anymore. Get Terrified 2 today along with the study guide at wretched.org. That's wretched.org, and gain the confidence you need to share the gospel with anyone, even complete strangers.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Mediator. God is holy and cannot have fellowship with sinful men. But Jesus is both righteous man and holy God, and through him we have direct access to God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of the Roman Catholic Church, this is Wretched Radio. It was 1952 when the President of the United States, Dwight Eisenhower, proclaimed, "This will be a national day of prayer." And since 52, every year, Americans get together, typically in political institutions and at capitals with politicians, to pray for the nation. It is worth noting that the National Day of Prayer was not instituted till 1952 under Dwight Eisenhower. Furthermore, In God We Trust was not the national model until Dwight D. Eisenhower. Furthermore, when you say the Pledge of Allegiance with a clear conscience, because it includes that prepositional phrase, under God, that too was inserted courtesy of President Dwight Eisenhower. PBS is currently airing a documentary on Billy Graham. I watched it the other night. I stumbled onto it and, of course, watched it with a critical eye because it's on PBS. and it traced the political activity and relationships with Billy Graham and presidents since Dwight Eisenhower, who was very fond of Billy Graham. And Billy Graham had a very big influence on Dwight Eisenhower. It then traced Billy Graham's relationship with other presidents, culminating with his very deep relationship with Richard Nixon. More on that later this week. The National Day of Prayer just took place, and our Roman Catholic president, he issued a statement. He called on Americans to join him in asking for God's continued guidance, mercy, and protection, revealing why I couldn't be the president of the United States. He calls on Americans of every religion and background to come together to lift one another up in our nation in prayer. See, I couldn't do that because that would be telling somebody, giving some sort of an encouragement that your religious system is actually valid. And anything that isn't biblical Christianity, according to Jesus himself, is not. By the way, 1 John 2:17, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 2:7. Jimmy, would you read 1 John 2? It'll be good for you. It's either 7 or 17, where there is a warning from the Apostle John that there are people who are proclaiming that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh. They are antichrist. In other words, you got to have your Christology correct. You are outside of the truth. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man, then you are antichrist. You find it, Jimmy? Not yet.
I've got. What, you're looking for seven?
I think so.
1 John 2:7. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard.
Yeah, I'm looking. Then maybe it's 2:7. It's where John says, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you are outside of orthodoxy. And the church always understood that. But there were people who fought against it. And there were two major groups that were opposed to the humanity of Jesus. And they both had the same foundational reason for denying the humanity of Jesus Christ. It was the Docetists, the Decaos. These were the people who said that Jesus just appeared to be a human. The virgin birth, woo, not a chance. Why? Because they believed that all physical was bad, spiritual good. Therefore, Jesus couldn't have a physical body. And it was the prophet Mani, M-A-N-I, who taught the exact same thing. Evil is associated with all things physical, which, by the way, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says God saw it and it was good. Yes, it's marred by sin, but physical things are God's creation. Our bodies are God's creation, and we should esteem that. We are dualists only in the sense that we are body and soul. We're not just spirits. We don't have this little tent for a season, and then it gets torn down when we die. No, Jesus is going to give us an eternal body. But it was the Manichaeans who believed, Jesus was not human. Couldn't have been, because that's physical. And it's interesting that John, you find it yet, Jimmy? There's not that many verses in 1 John 2.
No, not yet. I can't read very well.
Google, Jimmy, Google John, 1 John, come in the flesh. You'll find it. The kids these days. You have to teach them everything about the social media. The Docetists got it wrong. The Manichaeans got it wrong. We don't want to join them. Physical isn't necessarily evil. And John made it clear, you don't get it right with Jesus, you're out of here. And that's why I couldn't be the president and encourage other religions, because I couldn't give any sort of impression that they're believing in a true God. He said this, throughout America's history, faith and prayer have helped fuel some of the greatest moral missions of our time. From the abolition of slavery, Christians were involved in that? That's the government. They were Republican? To the fight for voting rights and the civil rights movement, many of our nation's greatest leaders have been motivated by faith to push us all toward a more perfect union and to bend the arc of the moral universe toward justice. That was the declaration that was given by our Roman Catholic president, who went about the business of crossing himself at a pro-abortion rally next week. Lovely. And then he gaslit all of us by saying, may we see each other not as enemies, but as fellow human beings, each made in the image of God and each precious in his sight. You know, I feel that during the State of the Union address, I feel that sort of warmth and respect emanating from the president. You find it, Jimmy?
I found it.
What was it?
By this, you know.
Now, what verse was it, though?
1 John 4:2.
That's what I said.
I'm reading all of chapter 2.
Well, you needed it.
I did need that.
You needed to know about love. All right, 1 John 4:2. Sorry.
By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist.
Yeah, it was probably early stages of Gnosticism. As long as we're talking Roman Catholics, I'm looking again at Mike Gendron's email. This is his newsletter. For those people who believe that somehow Roman Catholicism has changed, he talks about the Eucharist, which most Protestant theologians of the Reformation would say that the Eucharist was probably the big war. Even ahead of justification, what happened at that altar? See, we've moved from the altar to the table because we're not under the old covenant, and the sacrifice that the altar represented, the long-expected sacrifice, has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we don't keep re-sacrificing Jesus. But here's what a Catholic priest says about the Eucharist. Quote, when the priest announces the words of consecration, he reaches up into the heavens, brings Christ down from his throne, and places him upon our altar to be offered up again as the victim for the sins of man. He was not a victim. He was a volunteer. The priest speaks, and Christ, the eternal and omnipotent God, bows his head in humble obedience to the priest's command. So Jesus continues to be sacrificed on the altar of Roman Catholicism. This is nothing new. And if you think, well, they got rid of some of the really bad stuff. Well, it was pretty debaucherous at the time of Martin Luther. Not sure how cleaned up that is, because nobody, including Charlie Rich, knows what goes on behind closed doors. But nothing has changed theologically, again, from Gendron. A decree approved by Pope Francis declares that a plenary indulgence, it's the remission of all your temporal punishment due to sin. Pope Francis declares a plenary indulgence will be granted to those who participate in the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage, which is taking place in the middle of May. It will also be granted to the elderly, infirm, and all those who cannot leave their home for a serious reason and who participate in spirit. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo rules. You got to have them, because when you're making stuff up, there's all kinds of strings attached. Catholics may also apply this indulgence to the souls of the faithful departed in purgatory. Paging Tetzel, when a coin in the coffer clings, a soul from purgatory springs. And Martin Luther thought, wait a second. People can pay money to have sins forgiven so that their relatives can go from a place that the New Testament does not describe as purgatory to heaven? What about the sacrifice of Jesus? The once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Please, mom and dad, I would encourage you, if you've never spent a little time with your kids, not just teaching them true biblical doctrine, but teaching them about the aberrant theology of the Roman Catholic Church, you do well to do that. In fact, I think I wrote about that in Reset for Parents like 7 years ago, because the kids are looking. They gravitate toward this. They like the history of it. They believe they're connected to something ethereal, and they need to know if they leave Protestantism for Catholicism, they'll be connected to something that is, I'm sorry, what did John say in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2? Antichrist. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.